Mad Radio on a Tuesday. Mike, Seth, and Paul. Time now for the big questions in Houston and national sports right now. Who feels worse right now in their heart of hearts? Rams fans with Jared Goff or Texans fans with Bill O'Brien? My answer is Texans fans with Bill O'Brien. I've had more time to think about this one because if I'm a Rams fan, and there's always the question of do Rams fans actually exist, but when I took a step back, took a nap on Monday, I crushed Goff on Monday morning. I was very critical of him. Ultimately, he's still a really talented guy, and he has a major achievement, which is getting to the Super Bowl, beating the Saints on the road in a game where a lot of the media that went there said the Superdome that day was the loudest crowd they have seen. Goff brought him back a couple times in that game, won the game, so I think Texans fans feel worse.
I think this, too. I think, look, Sean McVay is definitely very bright and very competent. I think the lesson he learned in that Super Bowl was, we need to get Jared Goff to be a genuine third down quarterback, because he's not. He's a system quarterback right now, and he does really well with it. But when people start to figure out the system, at some point it comes down to the quarterback being able to sit back there and dissect defenses. Goff has only been with a real coach and a real offense for two seasons now. The next step for him, and especially next year, which will be his fourth year in the league, where you start thinking about contract extensions, he needs to develop into more than he is. I think Rams fans, all 20,000 of them, probably feel pretty confident that he's going to take a step forward. I think there are a lot of Texans fans that are, hey, Bill O'Brien's been here for 5 years. Your playoff success has not been what I would have wanted to be. That they've already formed their opinion of Bill O'Brien. They don't see the upside.
Look, I think it's a stretch to feel that O'Brien will improve, but Sean McVay, who is a great coach, has his work cut out for him with Jared Goff, who looked just soft in that Super Bowl. I mean, pressure made him look like a rookie, and he's been in the league for 3 years now. We can talk about him being a young quarterback, but this is a guy who was quarterbacking the top offense in the football the first half of the season, and the second half of the season, he looked bad. And this is something that happened last year as well. We saw it in the game against the playoffs against the Falcons.
Did he look bad in the NFC Championship?
Jared Goff against the Saints? At first he did. He looked lost at first.
Well, the noise was a huge consideration, and the headsets were out.
I mean, the headsets weren't functioning. I get it. But
he brought him back. Yeah. You gotta give him credit.
I'll give him credit for that, but guess what? I give him credit because when the headsets were figured out, Sean McVay figured out how to get it back in. Jared Goff, to me, I mean, he's an average quarterback, and if you want to go forward with that guy, that's fine, but he is going to cost you in spots like that. That New England Patriots defense gave up 41 points to Nick Foles the season before. They had some improvements this season, but I don't know how you can feel good about Goff going forward.
I guess I'm trying to figure out. I understand your questions about his potential. I have never looked at him and thought he was soft. Like, and soft is like shrinking in the moment. He might just not be that great a quarterback.
But didn't you feel like he shrunk in the Super Bowl? I mean, that interception that he threw was one of the worst passes I can remember in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but it was also, he also made some pretty big time throws, like with a couple of drops, and he also was driving on that series and he messed up. Like, soft is like he got scared.
He looked rattled by New England's pressure. That's how I felt in that game. I don't like throwing that term out there, but he is someone that in that spot against a Patriots pass rush that honestly isn't that good. Rams offensive line was abused. He's someone that looked like he could not handle pressure.
I'm in a weird spot with Goff. Tell me if this makes any sense. I agree with Paul, and I felt like he was rattled a bit in the game just by what the Patriots were doing schematically and by hitting him.
As was Brady.
True.
Brady had a horrible interception.
But I also think that Jared Goff has the kind of mentality to where it will not bother him moving forward. I think he has that weird combination that I actually think that he will dismiss it, and moving forward, he'll start off with a fresh slate next season in his own mind.
I would worry more about like his processing speed and his short and intermediate accuracy more than like his actual composition as a man.
That's fair.
I'm talking about composition on the football field.
Yeah, I know. Well, soft, that is soft. Like, if you're soft, that's like, for me, that's like, soft is one of the biggest insults you can.
No, I feel the same way, but in that game, I mean, pressure. He didn't look like a starting quarterback.
Yeah. Well, he didn't play like one, certainly. Number two, Tim Kelly, as you know, is the Texans' new offensive coordinator. Should he be calling the plays?
Yeah, I don't think you should have elevated him unless he's calling the plays. And if you elevated him just because you wanted to shut people up, or maybe because the owner's asking you, like, yeah, so why again do we not have an offensive coordinator? Then I don't think he's doing a good job of cultivating his talent. He needs to be calling the plays so Bill O'Brien can actually make game management decisions and be thinking about larger topics and issues. Maybe be thinking about what the defense needs to do after this offensive series. And you get that by having an offensive coordinator who's actually calling the plays. Why elevate him if not?
Exactly. Like, yeah. What are you giving him this title for if he's not doing something of this nature? Are you just bringing in somebody who can further, I guess, implement Bill O'Brien's scheme that allows O'Brien to focus on the entire body of work? But at the same time, O'Brien's calling plays. If that is something that continues, yeah, I do wonder about what this was, what the purpose of this was. And honestly, it's hard to entirely dismiss the notion that some have that this is something that was done to quiet people.
I disagree with you guys. It doesn't really matter to me if Tim Kelly calls plays or not. John Harris gave a story last night on Texans radio about when Kubiak elevated Kyle Shanahan. And there were points where Kyle called the plays and he didn't call the plays when Gary called the plays. I'm fine with the idea of Tim Kelly being like the overseer of the offense and having a major role in formulating the game plan. I don't have a big issue with Bill O'Brien, the play caller, on a week-in, week-out basis. I just think that he needs more help. So I'm totally okay if Tim Kelly is just the offensive coordinator, not calling the plays like Andy Reid has had in Kansas City and McVay had the first season in LA.
I want him to be calling the plays, Tim Kelly to be calling the plays, because I want Bill O'Brien to have proven that he can bring up a young, bright dude that actually knows what the hell he's doing and maybe has some zest to him. Somebody that you worry about getting plucked away. Because so far, we haven't seen the offensive coach on the Texans staff that you worry about getting plucked away. Sean Ryan, it's like, oh, well, I mean, he's a quarterback's coach, but I guess, yeah, I'd be sure. I mean, I guess you can go, whatever. I guess you can go somewhere where you have no chance of being an offensive coordinator. Like, they were there. Why did you keep a guy in your staff for 3 years that you were so willing to let go just because maybe he was a little upset that Tim Kelly was getting promoted above him?
My answer would be maybe O'Brien felt like Sean Ryan did a good job with Deshaun Watson and that he was just fine with that.
Right, so why would he let him leave is my question.
Oh, I guess, well, it's kind of like if you have...
Like he did a just fine job with him?
Let's say you had an employee at your company who you liked him at their job, yeah, but they had higher aspirations and they really wanted the aspirations. I think it's the nice thing to do after a while to let them go.
That's why you let him go to a higher job. That's where this part, none of that makes any sense. He's going to a place that just hired an offensive coordinator. The Lions just hired an offensive coordinator.
Yes. But Sean Ryan is probably feeling like if he does a good job with Matt Stafford, whoever the hell that means, yeah, that he would get an OC job somewhere.
He'll be the one that fixes Matt Stafford.
Exactly. He'll be the
good
one
luck
guy.
Good luck with that, Sean Ryan.
The big questions on a Tuesday morning. Is this the last Super Bowl the Brady and Belichick Patriots win?
No,
I say
next
yes.
Question.
Yes.
What?
Yes. Yes.
How so?
I think that's it.
You're so hopeful.
I think that's it. I think that
we've got Michael Brown, who won a contest, to be sitting in with us right here.
And, is Michael shaking his head?
Shaking
no,
his
it's
head
not.
In disgust. Yeah, it's I don't know.
It's over.
You're doing the
it
same thing as when
is
you're
over.
You've turned into Max Kellerman. How do you feel about that?
You're doing this, Mike. This is what you're doing. You're doing
it's
the
over.
Same thing that anytime Brady has a rough stretch of three games, the people that like want to be sure that it's on record that they said his career is over. They say, "Well, I called it." So every single time,
no,
they go, you'll keep saying this every year after the next three Super Bowl.
I did not say the Patriots are done, and I didn't say Brady is done. All I'm saying is they will not win a Super Bowl again with Brady and Belichick.
What great team is going to beat them in the conference championship or in the actual big game itself? Because we saw them beat Kansas City at home and on the road this past season.
Kansas
That's
City.
The only team in the AFC that is anywhere close to the same level as New England, even despite that 11-5 record that they had during the regular season. And in the NFC, okay, were the New Orleans Saints really going to be that much of a more of a threat than the Rams, given how they blew that 13-point lead in the NFC Championship game at home?
Lamar,
Saints fans?
Lamar Jackson.
The Pittsburgh Steelers?
Lamar Jackson.
If they get things in order?
Next year, the Ravens are going to play with 9 defensive backs on the field. That's going to be the secret. That's how they're going to stop a fullback.
You're right. It's hard to come up with a specific team. I think it's more just how hard it is to keep doing it. Now, they have obviously kept doing it for 18 years, so the last 18 years works against me. But I'm going to tell you guys that it is over. The Brady and Belichick run
writing it
is
down.
Over.
Oh, excuse me.
Write it down, please.
Why do I have I've got like a Chargers-Ravens dyslexia, which is a really weird one to have.
One more, and I admit this is a little bit random, but just bear with me on this. I think it's safe to say most of us believe that James Harden should win the MVP award. His team right now is the 5 seed. What is the difference between the argument this year for James Harden versus the argument 2 years ago for Russell Westbrook?
I'll tell you simply, and it's this. It's that Harden's production is more closely tied to winning without the talent around him. Like, he has less. When Chris Paul was out, Harden had less talent around him than Westbrook did at that given time. Where everybody, remember everybody acted like Westbrook was playing with a bunch of nobodies?
And then Victor Oladipo goes on to be one of the top 20 players in basketball in Indiana.
Yeah. Like, he was playing at the expense of other good teams on his, other good players on
his
team.
Cantor.
Whereas Harden does not have those guys. Like, the guys on the team, especially when Chris Paul was out, were guys that were, like, proven non-quality players.
Even with Chris Paul back, I mean, there are limits to how much you can put Paul out there. You can't play him on back-to-back nights. He is, I think, doing a much more impressive thing than Westbrook. The problem, and always will be the problem for Harden, is that Westbrook plays an aesthetically pleasing style of basketball because there's so much energy, there is so much speed, adrenaline, anger, and Harden, it's like a laid back taking advantage of the rules of basketball, whether it's his impressive footwork or just his ability to draw fouls.
You know what I worry about when Clint Capela comes back? It's not anything. It's not like whether he can rebound or whether he can catch a lob or anything anymore. It's can he keep his free throw percentage high? Like, high enough to keep him out of the hack range? Like, you come back with a thumb injury. If he gets down into the hack range, that was one of the most impressive improvements anybody's made on any Houston sports team this year, was Clint Capela becoming like a somewhat reliable free throw shooter.
I have to admit, I feel a little bit intellectually dishonest in arguing for Harden for MVP, because usually I'm the kind of person who says, hey, you got to be a top two seed in the NBA to win MVP. But my answer to this question is Harden's best skill is more replicated in the way the Rockets play. Like, Harden obviously is... Well, Harden has been the best offensive player in the league. The Rockets' offense is the second best offense in the league this season, second to Golden State. 2 years ago, Westbrook, the best thing he does is offense, obviously. Their offense was 10th. So that would be my answer as far as the difference between Harden this year and Westbrook 2 years ago.